Welcome to Movie Crush, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Mini Crush. No small talk here with Noel. We didn't even speak two words to each other.
It's all for the pod, Chuck. We got to keep it fresh. Keep it real for the folks at home.
I did it all for the potty.
What?
I did it all for the potty?
No, you're supposed to say the potty. It's a Limp Bizkit reference. You say, I did it all for the potty. Then I go, what? And then you go, the potty. And you go, what? So you can take that naughty and stick it up your, hey, remember that song? That was after your time.
No, what's funny, Noel, is that's what I was referencing.
I thought it was.
I just didn't know anything except for All for the Nookie. Okay. So when you said what, I was like, huh? Yeah.
Well, that was part of the joke, but here we are.
Oh, boy.
How are you?
I'm good, man.
It's Friday, but it's Monday for everyone else, but for us, it's Friday. So that's cool.
Yeah, Noel, and I'm going to get political for 5 seconds. So if you don't want to hear that, just mute me. I am so glad I never have to say the fucking words President Donald Trump ever again in my life.
Yeah, I tried to avoid saying that exact combination of words whenever possible, but I'm with you, my friend.
All right.
It's been a hell of a 4 years and even hell of a year.
So. That's right. And now everything is fixed.
Now, you know. Baby steps, Chuck. Baby steps.
No, baby steps. Just little things, Noel, like, oh, the whitehouse.gov site has a Spanish language version again. Mm-hmm. You know, they took Spanish language off of it, Noel.
Add that to the
petty,
long, yeah.
Shitty moves.
I know. Petty, shitty. Yeah, it's true. Lots of potential. Let's just leave it at that. You know, not perfect, but potential.
Like you and I.
Yeah. Just so, Chuck. We are America. We are like a microcosm of the American experience, you and I, Chuck.
So Noel, I announced this on the Movie Crush page. I was on Minnie Driver's podcast on Wednesday, and then she was on Movie Crush yesterday. And so we're old friends now. We spoke to each other for probably close to 4 hours between those 2 days. And
I don't think I've talked to my mom that long, you know, over the past year. That's great. Minnie. Oh, I saw your post. It sounded like it went very well.
Dude, she's amazing. She's just so lovely and nice and a great talker. And I think her show's going to be really good. The episode we recorded was great. She just couldn't be a lovelier person. And, you know, I've had some pretty big names on the show, but not many people I've had can sit around and talk about hanging out with Robert De Niro and Isabella Rossellini. And like, she's quite an accomplished actor over her, you know, 20 something years in the business. So she had a lot of cool stories to tell. And I could have gone all day, but eventually we had to talk about Tootsie, which was fun too.
You know, I've never seen Tootsie.
You should check it out. Very 80s, very funny. Cool. Movie probably couldn't make today.
How does it age? That was what I was getting at, I guess.
Well, you know, the concept, right, is it's an out-of-work actor who can't get any work because he's a pain in the ass. So he dresses up like a woman and gets a role on a soap opera. So it's like a Mrs. Doubtfire kind of thing.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I was about to say.
It has a very feminist message, but it's told through the lens of a man taking a job from a woman. So it's kind of like, ugh, but it's 1982. And, you know, I think they tried to deliver a positive message of feminism throughout it, but it's, you'd probably tackle it differently today is what I would say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but it's a classic. It's very funny.
It's probably an interesting time capsule.
It is
as well. I'll check it out.
Yeah. Very 80s. The number two grossing movie that year behind E.T. Smash.
Did it do well with awards? Was it lauded? Was it a critical
9 success? Oscar nominations?
Yeah. I thought I remember that.
Yeah. And it won. I think Jessica Lange won the best supporting actor or actress is what they call it. I say actor.
Hey Chuck, you know what's a pretty good movie?
What?
The Godfather.
Fuck yeah, it is.
I watched it the other night. Well, yeah, I did my semi-yearly rewatch of the entire Sopranos series.
Sure.
And when it ended, I was just craving more of that kind of content. So I immediately started watching The Godfather, and I hadn't seen it in years. And I mean, of course it holds up.
Sure.
It's own thing, but it's just fabulous. Everything about it is just pitch perfect. The performances, the huge set pieces, and all of the family events. And the, you know, it's just like, what an undertaking. I was trying to picture what it must have been like to be on that set, you know. It must have been a very fascinating time.
Yeah, that set that feels like New York, but is really the Paramount backlot in the middle of Hollywood.
Is that right? So the scenes where, like, when Sonny beats the shit out of his sister's shitbag husband and, like, the fire hydrant's exploding and the kids are all playing, that's on a lot.
That's on Paramount's lot.
It looks fantastic.
Their famous New York set. I have worked on that set and walked by those places and thought, man, The Godfather was right here. So
pretty cool.
Cool,
man. That's pretty cool.
And number two is great. And number two is a lot better than people give it credit for.
Number three, you mean?
No, number two is great. And number three is a lot better than people give it credit for. Is that what I said?
You said number two is great and number two is better than people give it credit for.
Good Lord.
Are you aware of this recut of three that just came out that Coppola did?
I heard something about that. What's the deal there?
I just know it's a recut and it supposedly fixes it. I have, that's all I know, really. I think it's called like Godfather Legacy.
Redux.
It's not that. It's definitely not as lazy as that. Let's see. Godfather 3. What is it called? It doesn't matter. It's something like that, though, Chuck, and it is a recut of number three. People gave Sofia Coppola a bad rap for her depiction of, I guess,
she's not
Michael
great.
Corleone's daughter. Yeah, I guess she's not great, but, you know, she went on to do interesting things.
Yeah, she's a better director than an actor, and I think she knew that.
Did you see her new movie, Chuck, On the Rocks?
I did, recently.
I heard it wasn't great. What did you think?
I enjoyed it. Okay. It wasn't great. But it was good. It was pretty light fare. It did not feel like a Sofia Coppola movie very much. But Rashida Jones and Bill Murray, like, give it to me all day long. Mm. She's great. He's awesome. It was good. It was worth a watch.
Cool.
But definitely not, you know, award worthy or anything. It was no Lost in Translation.
Yeah. It's hard to follow that one because it's just so singular and nostalgic. And there's something just like in the soundtrack, everything about Lost in Translation is it's a very special film to me. And I think to a lot of folks.
Agreed. No, it all works. Mm-hmm. So we're going to get going. We're going to stream this at the end. But I wanted to do a couple of crusher posts. Mm-hmm. And Noel, we should tell everyone we're recording on a Friday afternoon.
Yeah.
Which
it's unusual. it does suck. It's funny, too, Chuck. My kid is here with me today, and she's of the age where she's very self-sufficient, but I don't usually have her on a Friday. And I've had a very busy day where I've been in my little, you know, podcast cave / studio, and I emerged briefly and, like, totally forgot she was here, and she scared the shit out of me. I'm like, why are you here? What are you doing?
I thought you were going to say she painted the living room.
No. She doesn't. Want to redecorate her room. She's at that age where she's very, like, self-directed and very independent and wants to do everything her way. You know,
does she
like
want to come in and say hi or anything?
She's a no. She's no. She definitely doesn't. I can
always
assure
thought
you.
I'd offer.
I appreciate it, Chuck.
All right, so we're going to start off with the movie crushers just. Quite frankly, they're crushing me in the ideas for these episode segments. That's why I'm using them more and more, because they're really creative and they just come up with some really good shit. So Ashley McPherson or McPherson, I'm not sure. I'm going with McPherson. She said this, Noel, and this is so good. Give me three movie titles, one that holds up, one that has not aged well, and then one that gets better with age. What a great question. And she said... The Matrix holds up. Agreed. Austin Powers has not aged well. I could see that. And The Truman Show gets better with age. And I could see that too. So those are Ashley's picks.
Who is The Truman Show? Is that Milos Forman? Did he do that one? Did I make that up?
I think no. It's Peter Weir.
Oh, Peter Weir. Okay. Milos Forman did Man on the Moon, right?
Milos Forman did do Man on the Moon.
Got it.
And by the way, I'm looking now. I believe Ashley is a man, and maybe if people want, we can start doing pronouns. People want to start including that. I'm happy to.
Totally.
It's up to you, people. If you want to,
it's all the rage.
Yeah. If you want to include your your Pro Tools,
mm-hmm. your proton packs,
you want to include your pronoun. I'm happy to include that. Mm-hmm. So, and it helps us out quite honestly. Matt Contano says this, Jurassic Park holds up. Idiocracy does not age well. Inception gets better with age.
I watched Idiocracy recently, and I thought it was funny. And all of the offensive parts of it are by design. You know what I mean? Sure. And like, you know, it's a bit of a stretch to say we're living through Idiocracy right now. But yeah. It's certainly, there were some fun little signposts that you could definitely, you know, jump onto.
Agreed. Benjamin Clement says Gangs of New York has aged well. Adventures of Ford Fairlane does not hold up. Not sure if it ever did. And The Great Escape gets better with age. I would agree with that. Mm-hmm. That's good stuff.
That's one we talked about recently that I have not seen.
The Great Escape.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, if you're into war movies and prison escape, mm-hmm. it's the best.
Yeah. Is it as good as The Rock?
It's much better than The Rock.
Okay. You know, there's a Criterion Collection release of The Rock. I always found that funny.
Is there really?
There really is.
Hey, Criterion just went down a notch in my book.
well, you know.
Our oldest of friends, Anna, with a great name, Shrestha, says, Total Recall. I watched that the other day, actually, while I was cleaning the house, sort of the background movie while you're doing something.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree. It holds up in its own way. It's a lot of fun still. Forrest Gump does not hold up to Anna. I think I agree with that.
I think I've heard that pretty universally said.
And
I haven't seen it in a long time.
And Shawshank gets better with age. Sure. I agree.
Yeah.
Our oldest friend, Zach Pointer. Boy, Zach has all kinds of little icons next to his name. Got a coffee cup because he's steaming hot. And then I don't even know what that other one is.
These are Facebook bestowed badges of some sort?
Is that like, okay? You know, because okay. Zach is the man when it comes to the Crushers.
He's like a 4-star Facebook group general.
I think so. Princess Bride holds up. Episode 1, Phantom Menace does not. Dead Poets Society gets better.
I don't think anyone was expecting any of those to hold up. I don't think they held up at the time.
Maybe. Ian Lyon says The Professional, or Leon, holds up. Groundhog Day does not. Interesting. I bet you Ian got a little shit for that. Yeah. And True Romance gets better with age.
I would think The Professional would be problematic because of its Lolita-ness.
Yeah.
You know, because that's, you know, seen as problematic more so than ever, I think, these days.
So there's a little side chat here. Might as well go over. One of our old friends, Marios Alexander Rotside, says, what's your issue with Groundhog Day? And Ian said, it feels so rapey and poorly paced. He is a bit aggressive. That is the one thing about Groundhog Day is like, he continually does not take no for an answer. Mm-hmm. But that was a time in movies where that's kind of what happened a lot.
Yeah. And he's also using his like time travel powers to basically gaslight this woman into like falling in love with him under fake pretenses. So, and then I guess it becomes real and it's sort of sweet, but it's like, he sort of changes, I guess. That's what makes it a little more stomachable. But
well, that's what Mario says. He said, fair enough, but I personally see a more positive message about him truly learning not to be a creep and to value others. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I can see both sides. I'm going to both sides it.
Yep.
Yvonne Baudet, one of our old friends, says Bridge on the River Kwai holds up. Wild Wild West does not. Scott Pilgrim versus the World gets better.
Mm-hmm. Love Scott Pilgrim. Wild Wild West, another one that I don't think held up at the time. It was such a clusterfuck, weird movie, you know?
Yeah, I think I kind of agree there. Karen Schlump Hughes, one of our oldest friends, says Dr. Zhivago holds up. Gigi does not. Lawrence of Arabia gets better with age. Mm-hmm. I've only seen it once, but it's great.
Yeah. We were talking about that last we hung. Yeah. I need to see that. And really quickly, Chuck, just to put this in here, the Godfather 3 recut, the name is hilariously clunky. It is Mario Puzo's The Godfather, Coda, The Death of Michael Corleone.
What the fuck is he doing?
Who thought that was a good idea?
Francis Ford Coppola is drinking too much wine.
Yes, exactly. Too much of his own wine. Yeah.
Pearson Hunt says Pulp Fiction holds up. Lost Boys does not. Sure. Depends on what you're in the mood for. Love Lost Boys. Scott Pilgrim gets better.
Yeah, I think Lost Boys is exactly what it ever was and exactly what it's supposed to be. And it's a time capsule of that, the 80s, and it's a lot of fun. I quite enjoy that movie.
And I should mention this fun exchange I had with Ashley. I said, Ashley, can I use this for a mini? And he said, do I get royalties? And I said, sure. I said, I'll break down what Movie Crush brings in, divided by the number of episodes and number of segments, and I owe you about $1.27. Mm-hmm. And he said, keep the change, you filthy animal.
Nice. That's like Spotify streaming money right there.
Yeah. Mick Nye, or Nye, says, Mad Max holds up. 16 Candles does not age well. To Kill a Mockingbird gets better with age.
Mm-hmm. Classic.
Classic. Let's go with Austin Debski, one of our old friends. Starship Troopers holds up. All of the Star Wars prequels do not. And Hook gets better with age. I only saw Hook once.
That was a big movie for me in my youth because it was like a big tentpole fantasy thing when Robin Williams was in his like kind of kid movie heyday.
Yeah.
And it, you know, they had like McDonald's toys and stuff around it, which was always key. And I loved that movie. And there was toys. There was, you know, like you could get like the swords and stuff. And I just remember being very taken by that movie at the time. But I bet you if I watched it now, I would think it was not great.
That's prime time for Ruby right now. She needs to see Hook, right?
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
6 year old, I mean, close to 5.5 year old could see that, I think.
Oh, I'm pretty sure. I think it's only PG.
I aired big time, Noel, as a dad.
Oh, what'd you do, Chuck? I got to hear it.
We had family movie night, and I let her watch, I just wasn't thinking, the latest Spider-Man, not the latest, but the first Spider-Man movie with what's his face?
Tobey Maguire?
No, with the new kid.
Oh, yeah.
Homecoming.
Oh, yes, of course.
With Michael Keaton as the flying villain.
Right.
And it wasn't so much that it was too intense for her, because she was kind of fine with all of it, but it was just too much. It's too long, too over her head. She didn't get what was really going on.
Yep.
Asking too many questions. It was just a big, big fail on my part.
Ah, well, at least you didn't accidentally show her, like, Basic Instinct or something.
No. Okay. No, it wasn't. Yeah, it wasn't a fail in so much that she was damaged. It was just like, we should have watched so many other different movies.
You could have had a better time at the movies, I think is what you're saying. Yeah.
Cole Stratton, frequent guest and friend, says, Broadcast News holds up. Revenge of the Nerds does not age well. Boy, you said it there. And Galaxy Quest gets better with age. That's a movie I've only seen once, and I don't even remember that much. And I know it is so beloved.
It's a really good satire kind of like fame and, you know, all of that stuff. And yeah, I haven't seen it in a long time either, but I would love to. What about Meatballs, Chuck? Do you think those movies hold up?
You know, I saw Meatballs not too long ago. The problem with Meatballs is it's just not that funny. I remember it being way funnier when I was a kid. It's not that funny.
Didn't Harold Ramis have something to do with one of those?
I think so. I mean, Bill Murray starred in Meatballs, but it really leaned on his charm and the Bill Murray-ness to get any kind of yucks. It was not very funny.
Yeah. Oh, Ivan Reitman directed Meatballs.
Okay, that makes sense.
Who obviously went on to direct Ghostbusters, and the new Ghostbusters is directed by his son.
Yeah.
Who I had forgotten has done some really awesome shit. He did Up in the Air.
Yep,
he
great.
Did. He did Juno.
Thank you for smoking. I think. Right.
Yeah. Thank you for smoking.
Yeah.
And he also got this new Ghostbusters in there. Is like a really touching article that I saw come through, where apparently Ivan got a chance to see a screening of it at the lot, and he was in tears by the end of it. So,
oh, man,
it sounds like it's going to be great because obviously that last one was a bit of a miss.
I can't wait for new movies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Ugh. Although I had been on that good run of newer movies that have come out on streaming services, but I feel like I've kind of exhausted those already.
Yeah.
All right. Daniel Chadwick, Man After My Own Heart, says Jaws ages well. Jaws 2 through 4 does not. And Jaws gets better with age.
Got it.
Good stuff. I love it.
Okay.
And let's finish this one up. Let's do these last two. Batya Randy, I don't think we've met yet, Batya, welcome. Die Hard holds up, agreed. MASH does not age well, unfortunately, that's true. And The Big Lebowski gets better with age.
Oh, completely agree on that one. Why do you think MASH does not age well? It seems to be like it's supposed to be a slice of kind of a time and place.
It's just not so funny. And there are some really outdated stereotypes and sexual stuff and ethnic stuff. And it's a movie of its time.
Got it.
But, you know, I mean, it's an Altman classic, but it should stay in its little MASH camp.
Got it.
I think.
Now the show is based on the movie, right? Uh-huh, not the other way around. Okay. I always forget. Yeah.
Show's great. That's still
love. Show's good. Yeah. Show's funny.
There was a time, Noel, when I was growing up where I watched MASH three times a day. It came on at like 5 and 5:30 mm-hmm. in reruns. And then once at like, or four times a day, and then like 10 and 10:30. And then on Thursdays, I think the new ones were coming out. So I would see 5 MASH episodes on a Thursday.
It was too subtle for me when I was a kid, and it was on reruns all the time. Yeah. I would always kind of give it a miss because I just didn't quite get it. But now it's very good.
Yeah, I was in. Let's finish up here with John D. Caldwell. Biloxi Blues holds up. Repo Man does not age well. Okay. And Raging Bull gets better with age. Repo Man's a tough call. See what he's saying? You know, I did it on the show, and it was the first time I'd seen it. So it's kind of hard for me to say whether it's aged well, except in the context of watching it now. But I can't compare it to what it was like watching it then, you know?
It's an odd movie.
Yeah.
And I can't really think of anything else quite like it.
It was okay. That's always my fear, is that a guest is going to pick a movie I don't like.
Well, how do you handle that, Chuck? Are you honest about it, or do you try to silver lining it? What do you do?
It has only happened a few times. Repo Man was one of them, but I liked it. I didn't love it, and it was hard for me to really gush about it. I don't think I should say the other one that I don't really like. Might as well. Who cares? The Village was Mankey's favorite movie.
I found that interesting. Mankey being such a literary guy.
He loves it.
I know he does. And I think that's fascinating. And I obviously to each their own and you know, whatever does it for you. But that one is just so universally panned. And that twist is just so kind of eye-rolly to me. But there's some good things about it. I love that episode because it is interesting hearing someone. He's obviously aware of the legacy that the movie has and the reputation the movie has.
I don't remember. I mean, we had a good conversation. A lot of times it's a good thing that I'm able to look deeper and try and find a connection with it. So the episode goes better, but I don't really think there's been a whole lot of them. I mean, usually I'm like, fuck yeah, let's do it. That sounds great. I love it. One of my favorites too. But yeah, occasionally you just got to do it.
Got to do it.
And I've never told a guest like, boy, I really hate that movie. Can we not do it? Mm-hmm. I got Michael Ian Black too. He's coming.
Oh, cool. Love him.
Coming soon. He has great taste in movies. He wanted to do Miller's Crossing, but I've already done it. So he said, all right, my number two is Flirting with Disaster. I was like, oh, buddy, that's going to be fun.
That one rings a bell, but I'm going to.
David O. Russell. Great movie. I think you're on record as not having seen it.
Yes. 1996.
Yeah, it is one of my favorite comedies. David O. Russell.
Ben
just
Stiller.
Fantastic.
He's got so many movies that I don't even think I realize are him. I really love Three Kings and obviously, what was another really great one that
did? All of them are great. Spanking the Monkey was great. Three Kings is great. Flirting with Disaster is great. I Heart Huckabees is great.
That's the one I really love.
Silver Linings Playbook is great.
Love that one too.
The one he did after that with Christian Bale and Bradley Cooper and Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah, American Hustle.
American Hustle was great. And I thought Joy was really good. And that's with Jennifer Lawrence as well. I like them all.
What about The Fighter? Did you see that one with the boxing movie?
Mm-hmm. Great. He's awesome. He can do anything.
Yep. Talented fellow.
All right, we're going to move on to Liz Ann, one of my favorite crushers. She's just lovely, has very nice things to say. She gave us a compliment, Noel, that was just very lovely about how we gush about our daughters and how we just seem like such great dads, raising future great women. And it was just a very kind thing to say.
It is nice to hear that. And I appreciate people that write in, because honestly, it's like, I just kind of, this is the one show I've mentioned that I feel really comfortable talking about my personal life. Other shows I do here. A little bit, but try to lean away from it. But this just feels very welcoming to do that. And we both do it. And so I think for some folks, that's part of the draw, is that they enjoy the candidness and all that. So it's nice to hear.
I think so. I mean, stuff you should know, I talk about my personal life some, but I've not talked about Ruby a whole lot on that show. Just because it's a whole lot bigger and, you know, but I feel comfy with the Crushers knowing about her.
Yep.
All right. Liz said this: if you could choose any two characters to flank you as your personal bodyguards, who would they be? And Liz said Thor and Kylo Ren are Liz's bodyguards.
Nice.
This is a great question, Noel. I chimed in and said, Sarah Connor and Ripley. Sarah Connor from like Terminator 2 or beyond.
Sure, sure, sure.
And Ripley from
Ripley's Believe It or Not. I know.
From anywhere, but probably Aliens.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
yeah.
where she really, you know, toughened up and got to be a super badass.
Absolutely.
And I think it would just be fun to have a couple of badass women by my side killing people. Do you have a couple?
Well, one that came to mind right off the bat was Drax from Guardians of the Galaxy's movies, because he got those two cool like sickle sword things, and he's just pure badassery. And he's funny, so that'd be fun. The side sure. conversations you
Drax
gotta have.
Humor.
Yeah, Drax humor would be a lot of fun. And then maybe, gosh, I immediately think of the Mad Max character in Fury Road. Oh no, you know what? Screw that. I'm going to go with Furiosa from Fury Road as played by Charlize Theron, who I think we've talked about this briefly on the show. There is a prequel movie coming out with Anna Taylor-Joy playing Furiosa. That's
what?
Going to be directed by
George Miller.
George Miller.
Of course.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. I do remember hearing about that. I didn't know about Anna Taylor-Joy because I just remember hearing that. I think Charlize was a little bummed out, right?
Sure, but maybe she can be in flash forwards. Who knows? You know, but like they wanted a younger, like an origin story kind of situation.
Boy, now I'm thinking of the ultimate badasses. John Wick would be a pretty good bodyguard and pretty fun. Not the best sense of humor, of course.
Right.
Depends on what you're looking for. Just a pure ass kicker or, you know, having Charlize Theron at your side is not too terrible, you know?
Also true.
All right, Noel. We're going to go with Vanessa Lopez, one of our oldest pals. Moderator Deluxe. Donnie Yen and Andre the Giant. Okay. Ellen Day says Toretto and Hobbs from the Fast and the Furious movies.
Okay.
EJ Levesque says Clark Kent and Tony Stark. Okay. I guess I see what you're doing there. It's like, oh, look at that person. Just a couple of mild-mannered dudes. And then, what?
Yeah, as needed. Keep a low profile
as needed
until the time comes.
That's right. Lucy McKinnon says The Rock and Jason Momoa. Jason Momoa.
He's a beefcake.
He's hunky. Slice of beefcake.
He is indeed.
He seems like a good guy.
Oh, I've heard nothing but he's always around town shooting stuff, and everyone that's run into him says he's just an absolute sweetie.
Yeah, I've seen some of the things he's done with charities and helping people, and he seems like a nice fella. Kevin Eggleton says John Wick and John Rambo. Hey, I'm picking up what you're laying down, my friend. Chris Fairchild says Captain Marvel and Rey. I guess that's Rey from Star Wars. Not bad.
No.
George Duke Bass says Ruby Roundhouse and Nebula. Who's Ruby Roundhouse?
Ruby Roundhouse. Is that, let's see. Ruby.
Oh, that's from the Jumanji movie.
Yes, yes, yes. Uh-huh. That's right.
Okay.
Played by Karen Gillan. She is,
I don't know her, but I haven't seen that movie.
Oh, it's fun. That'd be a good one to watch with the kid, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
The first two, both of them. The Jumanji, reboots are delightful.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Nathan Van Ziel says Captain Marvel and... Hermione Granger. Who's that?
Are you joking?
Oh, it's a Harry Potter thing, I know.
It's one of those things, though, where like a lot of people mispronounced that name for years in their heads until the movies came out and they heard it spoken like Hermione. I think a lot of people went through life thinking it was Hermione.
Is it Hermione?
It's Hermione, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. What's her bag? Like, would she be a good bodyguard?
She does wizard shit. I don't know.
All right. Don't act like you don't know.
Dude, oh, I do. By the way, Karen Gillan, there was a buried kind of little Easter egg in that previous one. Karen Gillan, the actor, plays Ruby Roundhouse and Nebula. And you would never know that she was Nebula because she's all decked out in, you know, like prosthetics and doesn't look like herself at all.
I'm glad you said that because people made a bunch of emoji faces that I didn't understand.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. I love it. Mm-hmm. Clever. Clever crushers.
Indeed.
Let me see. Carly Padovani Petit, one of our favorites, says Cara Dune and Ashoka Tano. I don't know these people.
Ashoka is, isn't that Star Wars?
Okay, I know. Cara Dune is from Mandalorian, played by Gina Carano.
And so is Ashoka Tano, played by Rosario Dawson. And she's a fan favorite from the animated whatever the CGI cartoony Star Wars series is that people seem to love.
Yeah. All right. I'm down with that, Carly. Although she'd have to be in character because if you had to sit around and listen to Gina Carano blabber on about her bullshit.
Oh, my goodness. Hot take. I don't know who this is. What is her bullshit?
Yeah, it's politics.
Okay. Got it.
It'd be like having ass-kicking James Woods at your side or something.
Oh, no thank you. No thank you.
Or who's that fucking guy? Hercules? Kevin Sorbo?
Kevin Sorbo, yeah. Or what's his name? Who's Angelina Jolie's dad? Who's like a super right-wing gun
I don't
gun
know
nut.
If he was... I mean, I know he's a big-time conservative, but like Sorbo's an actual like, you know...
Alt-right, proud boy.
Election rigged, you know.
Oh, so is... who's? Why can't I not think of his name?
Is John Voight?
John Voight is Did big time. That. Too? Oh, I mean, he's definitely down that path.
God, these dopes. All right. John Hoskin says Molly Millions and Gamora. Don't know Molly Millions, but
nope.
Molly sounds like a great bodyguard. Stacey Ellsworth says Thor and Valkyrie. Sure, why not? Noah Hubbard says Ron Swanson and Hawkeye from MASH. I'm pretty big, so I think we can handle anything that came our way.
Nice. Yeah, Ron Swanson would just like shame you to death, I think.
Oh, I know Noah. Noah's a big fella. He's a key grip and a best boy, too.
Ah,
and a gaffer.
Best boy.
That's great. Didn't know that.
Best boy.
He's in the biz. Nicole Park says John Wick and Sidney Bristow. What was that? Sidney Bristow was, what's it called? Alias, right?
That's correct.
I never saw that.
It's good.
Did you watch it?
I watched the first season or so. It's good. Yeah, it's what's his name? It's the guy that went on to do Lost and stuff. It was his first venture.
What's his face?
You know,
that guy,
the Star Wars guy. He did a lot of things.
Not Damon Lindelof. The
the other JJ one. The other one. Yeah. JJ, our boy JJ.
Stop yelling at your earbuds, everyone. Dan Haynes says Mando. Mandalorian and Jerry from Stuff You Should Know.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Jerry's a good one to have in your corner. Oh, that's funny.
That's great.
That's funny.
I watched the first episode of Mandalorian, and I've watched so far.
Oh, it's good, dude. It's good.
I'll get back into it.
It's fun.
I did the same thing with the second season of The Boys. I watched one ep and then got distracted. Those are Chuck's solo shows, Noel, so it's hard to find that time.
Mm-hmm. I need to catch up with that one too. I've got a handful of friends that are quite taken with The Boys.
It's good. I kind of got to season two and I was like, do I really need to invest in this? Like, I like it, but there's so much out there. Do I love it enough?
I heard season two is when it really heats up.
All right.
Like things start happening. I don't know.
Bronwyn Collins says, Hermione Granger and John McClane.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, John McClane's good in a pinch. That's for sure.
Noel, have you seen WandaVision yet?
Yeah, I love it. I think it's great.
I watched the first two eps. Is there a third yet?
No, I think they just dropped two in, you know, back to back.
I'm curious where it's going.
Oh, I'm very curious, too.
There's a lot more there than meets the eye, obviously. Like, they're not going to stay in that world, I don't think.
Yeah, they can't possibly. I mean, even between the first two episodes, they slightly change the style of sitcom. Even the opening, you know, credits changes. And then, you know, it pulls back and it's on a monitor being looked at by unseen, creepy, you know, forces.
Very so creative, it's though.
Probably like, some kind of like what simulation that they're stuck in for nefarious purposes. But I said the same thing. I'm like, how are they going to? They can't possibly just keep this hammy kind of like sitcom thing going.
No. But very, very cool take on it, I think.
Yeah. No, I dig it.
I like it. And it looks great. I mean, it's they really nailed the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, really quick aside, you did not like Mank.
Yeah, I was going to talk about that and stream this. In fact, let's just go ahead and go to stream this. I think Mank is a movie that you have to be in the right mood for. Mm-hmm. And I think I maybe wasn't. And I was watching with Emily, and I could tell she wasn't super into it. So I was like, halfway through, I was like, why don't we stop it and watch something else? I think I will finish it. Everything about it I should like. I mean, it looked amazing. The acting was great. So it's not like it sucked or anything. I just had a hard time in like connecting to it.
And I was surprised at how much I did connect to it. I was expecting it to be a bit of a slog or a bit challenging or kind of slow paced. And, you know, it is on one hand, but on the other hand, it's got all this great rapid fire dialogue. It's really witty.
Yeah.
It's beautifully shot. There's a host of all these characters that you know about from like being film history nerd, but like you never really see them like portrayed, like,
right.
You know, what is it? Selznick and like,
yeah, David F. Selznick, Orson Welles, obviously
that guy is well cast. And then who's the guy? Thalberg, Irving J. Thalberg, who like, there's a lot of cool history and also the political stuff that I wasn't aware of. Like, what's the guy that wrote The Jungle? Upton Sinclair ran for like the governor of California, and Mank's character supports him and all of the little ins and outs. And there's a whole thing, not really a spoiler, but where they're like basically making fake news reels of using actors to act like real people, saying how, you know, Sinclair is a communist and all this stuff. Mm. And it really had a ring of like the now of what's going on.
I did pick up on some of that for sure. And I think I hadn't even gotten to that part, but there were definitely some allegorical connections to these days.
Mm-hmm.
I did think, and it was kind of, we turned it off not too long after the big party scene in the first half of the film at the mansion.
Yes.
Which was just, I was just like, man, how do you shoot that scene? It was so big and so beautiful and so much cross-cutting from way across this big room to these people having conversations all over the place. I mean, it must have taken 2 weeks to shoot that scene. So I did appreciate what I was seeing, and I think it just bears a rewatch from second one when I'm in the right headspace, you know?
Yeah. It's also like, it can be a bit of a drag on you if you're gauging someone else's interest in a movie and you're sensing that they're drifting.
True.
That can sort of affect the way you look at it too, if you're feeling like you're inconveniencing somebody else who's not having a good time.
Yeah.
I happened to watch it with an old friend of mine who was in town, and we were both on the same page and kind of loving it and like big upping how much we were loving it. So it helped.
Yeah. My brother loved it and texted me and was like, dude, it's a masterpiece. So I need to give it another fair shake. It is, I mean, I certainly think Fincher is like one of the modern master auteurs. So I'll give it a shot. Mm-hmm. The other thing I watched last night that I want to recommend is the John Belushi documentary. It's simply called Belushi. It is culled from these interview tapes from many years ago that had never been released. Audio tapes with all of these people, the people closest to him, his friends, Aykroyd and the gang, and people that worked with him, writers, and his wife, Judy. And it was really, really good. And I know the Belushi story in and out. He's a hero of mine and of just one of the most brilliant comedians to ever live. And I've told the story many times about all the times I've hung out in the bungalow where he died at the Chateau Marmont. And I did know it all, but it was really good seeing this documentary all culled together from his high school days to his death, and just what an amazing person he was. I mean, he had the number one TV show, the number one movie, and the number one record all at one time in the United States. He was the biggest star in the world across many platforms. And it was just, he was one of those lights that burned so bright. You know, he was sort of destined to burn out. It's very, very tragic and sad. I would love to see him around today, and because he was just starting to get into like real acting, and I would love to have seen him in like during the Trump administration, because he was such a sort of a lefty mouthpiece and hippie activist. And it's just a big shame. Good documentary. It's called Belushi.
Mm-hmm. Check it out. I don't know a hell of a lot about his story. So I definitely should check that out. I mentioned maybe that I've been doing my semi-annual Sopranos rewatch. Totally holds up.
Yep.
Lots of great rings of the now in that show as well.
You looking forward to that new show, the prequel?
Well, it's a movie, yeah, and they pushed it. Yeah, it's a full-length with David Chase writing and, I believe, directing. But it was originally announced that, like, Warner Brothers was going to, like, dump their whole slate onto HBO Max, like, in one fell swoop, mm-hmm. you know, like they did with Wonder Woman. And then the theaters kind of lost their shit. But that was supposed to happen, like, in March. But now it looks like The Many Saints of Newark, which is the Sopranos prequel movie, has been pushed like to the end of the year, the way end of the year. Yeah, I'm very excited. It's cool. They got James Gandolfini's son cast as Tony Soprano, Soprano. Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, you know, I think it's easy to be like, oh, of course they just gave it to him because it's his son. But I mean, they didn't have to do that. There's no like, you know, I mean, they did it because I think it was probably the right choice.
Agreed. What else you been watching?
Oh, let's see. You know, I watched with my lady friend last night, because she hadn't seen a whole lot of kind of these deeper cut weird movies. A favorite Asian movie of mine, a Korean film called Old Boy, that I think a lot of people are familiar with.
You made her watch Old Boy?
I love Old Boy. I mean, it's a lot. Uh-huh. But I hadn't seen it in years, and it holds up. I love every minute of it, even though it's like totally fucked up and nihilistic and sadistic. But I still haven't seen the seemingly completely unnecessary remake that Spike Lee did with Josh Brolin. And after watching it again, I'm like, okay, you know what? Why not? I'm going to watch it and just compare it, because I don't understand why they made it. It didn't seem to do very well. On the stream, this tip, Old Boy, the original, is streaming literally nowhere. Mm-hmm. And the new one is. So I definitely would watch the old one first. I had to pull out my DVDs, Chuck. I haven't watched a DVD in forever, and I'd pull
it
out.
Did she like it?
She loved it, but was also like, what the fuck? But yeah, I mean, you can't not appreciate the skill in the story and the filmmaking. Yeah. It's just great.
Totally. You got anything else, or is that it?
That's it for now. Yeah.
All right.
I'll see if someone could keep some in my back pocket for next time.
Well, thanks, buddy. Keep it in your pocket. Mm-hmm. Put a bird on it.
Yep, always.
And it's just a few hours before the end of the workday, Noel, and the weekend starts. What turned out to be like, we got to record on Friday. Now I feel energized and happy. This is the last thing I'm doing for the work week.
Same. I actually have a buddy coming in from out of town, and I may have gotten out of my last recording for the day. So this might be it for me, too. And then I can kick it with my pal. So
sweet, man. Well, have a great weekend, and love to your family and your daughter. And I'll see you next week.
You too, brother.
All right.
Movie Crush is produced and written by Charles Bryant and Noel Brown, edited and engineered by Seth Nicholas Johnson, and scored by Noel Brown here in our home studio at Ponce City Market, Atlanta, Georgia, for iHeartRadio.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.